Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. We've got a special guest joining us now. It is the man of the hour. Anthony Rizzo joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Anthony, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. What's up, fellas?
Well, you got some big news, right?
I do. Finally, officially announcing the retirement, coming back to Chicago, retiring a Cub. It's all exciting stuff.
Why now, and what do you envision doing in your role as a team ambassador, Anthony?
It's just coming towards the end of the year. Had our baby, Anthony Jr., so been just engulfed in joy in that in the last 3 months. And it's coming down to September. Talked to Mr. Ricketts and Crane, and the Cubs are rolling right now. The team's young, and they're scrapping right now. I wouldn't say they're rolling, but it's an exciting time, and to be part of the October run, and just obviously playing there, I'm going to be a Cub forever. So the ambassador role is going to be amazing to do moving forward, and I'm excited for it.
Riz, first of all, congratulations, buddy. Welcome back to Chicago. It's going to be awesome having you along with Emily and Anthony Jr. I want to know, knowing the emotional attachment you have to things and the type of person you are, how important this was to you? Because I just know that your Cub career was so important, and your connections to the city and, with Lurie Hospital, everything that you were, it all says Chicago, it all says Cubs.
It means everything, and it really starts from when I first got there. The players there, Dempster taking me under his wing, Soriano, Castro, Reed Johnson, Jeff Baker, Kerry Wood. I can go on and on. And then getting to know Ernie Hanks, getting to know Billy Williams, seeing all the guys, the past Cubs that would come in, meant so much to me. And I said it all along, but winning the World Series was so much more than just those guys, this 25 guys on the field. It was so many guys who made that happen before us. And now to be able to come back and be one of the Cubs, I guess, greats, to be able to wear the jersey, Ryan Sandberg, who is such a legend in Chicago in his passing, to now, hopefully create another legacy off the field in Chicago will be amazing.
So, Anthony, obviously 14 years in the majors. Congratulations on a long career. The last three with the Yankees. It wasn't that long ago. It seems like you were in the postseason. So you come into this season. I'm just curious. This is a great landing spot for you. This is a great opportunity. I think Cub fans are going to be really overjoyed. Did you talk to Jed first about maybe being a pinch hitter instead of an ambassador? Or maybe a spot first baseman?
I didn't. I think as the year developed and after last year going to the World Series, I knew last year towards the end it could be it. I put everything I had into baseball. I really enjoyed the last season. I told my parents, I told Emily, I was just like, hey, enjoy these moments, enjoy this playoff run, because I'm not really sure where I'm at, if I want to keep playing or not. And I did want to keep playing at first, and then just as everything developed, if the right opportunity didn't arise, here's where I would be, and I couldn't be happier.
Anthony, we talk to Chris Chelios every week, and he's been pushing you for a part of the roster for months. I'm just curious, when you make the decision to retire and then you're coming back to Chicago, obviously having a child, your wife's from here, I believe. It just all seems to work together the right way. Is it just something that fell like that? Had you been contemplating it for a while? How did it work out?
Well, but talking to Chelly is a tough one because he played till he was 50. So, you know, he's pushing you to keep going. I love Chelly, and what he did in the seventh inning stretch a month or so ago was amazing. He's such a good friend. And to have it come full circle and come back to Chicago means everything. And I really appreciate Tom and Crane reaching out and inviting me back, honestly. It feeling the love. Obviously, when I got traded, it was kind of out of nowhere, it felt like. And then for them to have Emily and I to dinner and talk to us and come up with the kind of one-day retirement as a Cub, you feel the love and you feel the joy. And being back in Chicago is going to be amazing.
Riz, when you look at the future, I know you have the young family, with Anthony Jr., but you are such a natural in communication and broadcasting. Do you envision a career in broadcasting for yourself? Do you look at yourself as someone maybe with the Cubs, maybe nationally? How do you envision your career moving forward?
I'm not sure. I'm still kind of just playing it all by ear, Bruce. I've dabbled a little bit into TV. I've done some stuff on TBS, MLB Network. I've talked to the old grandpa, Rossi, who's one of my best friends, and we've talked about some things. So it's just kind of take it as it go. I didn't really want to rush into anything. Obviously, I was kind of in limbo early on, but we'll see. I really enjoy talking baseball. I enjoy everything that comes with the game and what the game's given to me. And if I can talk it and help anyone out, I would love to do so.
So looking at this year's Cubs team as an analyst, as somebody who has been following, I imagine, pretty closely, what do you think about them as they enter mid-September? Kyle Tucker, a little bit banged up. They lose their closer, Daniel Palencia. And yet, you just want to get in at this point any way you can. How do you feel about the Cubs heading into October?
I think they're in a good spot. I really do. I think that going into a wild card spot, which isn't obviously locked up or anything yet, they could still win a division, but I think as a realistic outsider looking in, going into a wild card spot when you're a young team can springboard you through a deep run in the playoffs. Because if you get hot in those three games, especially if they're at Wrigley, especially if you have the home field advantage with that atmosphere, it could really springboard you. And you know, as a young team, you win one series, it's almost like you're playing with house money, right? And then you win another series, and all right, we're going to do this. So I think they can build a lot of momentum. They have a really good young core, especially with veterans like Happer, Swanson, Kyle Tucker. It's a great team, and it's led by Council, who his pedigree speaks for itself.
Anthony, obviously you mentioned the 2016 team, and you look back and the day that three of you were, or the week that three of you were traded at the same time, Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and yourself. And then you look back at where you guys have gone and the success you might have had afterward. Did you ever envision Kyle Schwarber still being in a position where he hit his 50th home run the other day? He's still going strong. He's not done yet. He may threaten 500 homers in his career. How surprised are you, if you are at all?
Wrigley's a tough field, man, for a left-handed hitter with that wind. I know everyone, emphasizes when the wind blows out, but as you guys know, and everyone's around Wrigley every day, when that wind blows in, especially for a left-handed hitter, I think Hap told me there's only one left-handed hitter ever hit 40 home runs there, and that's Billy Williams, which is an insane stat. But for Schwarber to continue to go, he's such a good human being. He's such a good teammate. He's such a good baseball player, and he loves the game. And the years in Chicago, when he was going good, you would never tell when he was going bad. He was the same guy, and he's still the same guy. I talked to him a few weeks ago. He's just still the same Kyle Schwarber, and it's so fun and easy to root for him.
Riz, when I think about you, everybody thinks about your career and the World Series. I'll always think of you, if there's ever a statue of you outside there by Wrigley Field, I hope it's a coach hitting you a fungo from second base to first base as you're practicing your trade, because you were one of the greatest first basemen in Cub history, one of the great first basemen during your career. But to me, that personified the work ethic. What are your thoughts about, you know, the work that you have to put in to be a great player like you were?
It takes a lot. Routine is everything. Being able to adjust your routine is everything. And for me, I was so fortunate to be around Castro when I was younger. He played every single day. Alfonso Soriano played every single day, and seeing their routines. David DeJesus, remember working out with him when I was my first year or two in Chicago, and just the routine and the mentality of what it takes to just play every day, good, bad, or indifferent. You go out and play. Eric Hinsky, Tim Buss would just constantly drill in my head, the only way you earn respect in this league is by playing. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad, you earn respect by playing. And the routine defensively is everything. That was always my safe space, because defense is the one thing you can control. Hitting, you can do everything right and still get out. So defense was always my thing, and I loved it, and I really took pride in it.
I'm curious, Anthony, when you think back on your career, when you look at the Cubs, obviously the World Series stands alone, but do you ever think of a moment, of a feeling of like standing in a certain spot and admiring what was going on around you? What would be your abiding kind of memory?
Oh, man, there's a ton, I would say. I think the first one that came to my mind was the 2014 trade deadline when we traded with Samardzija, got Addison Russell. And I just remember talking to Theo and that feeling of like, this will be the last time we sell at the deadline, because we weren't very good in 12, 13. 14, we started building momentum. And that feeling always stands out, of kind of a shift in the tide. And then another one was the offseason when we get Joe Maddon. I've always respected Joe from afar. And then John Lester, the premier free agent in 2015, signs with us. And we're like, wow, he believes in this organization and what we're doing. And that just kept springboarding us to that championship.
And you guys won that championship in 2016, obviously, and it changed baseball history, Anthony, and Chicago sports history. I just wonder, we're in the midst of celebrating the 40-year anniversary of the 85 Bears. And the 85 Bears, they stand alone in Chicago sports, and yet there'll be some members of that team that will say they look back fondly, but some with a tinge of regret because they didn't win again. They didn't win another one, and they were positioned to. Do you understand that feeling? Do you look back as special as 2016 was? Do you have any regrets about not getting back to the World Series?
No, I don't. I you know, we were so close in 15 in that heartbreak. We made another deep run in 17. And I think when you put it all on the line and you have perspective of how hard it is to win, we had to literally have a 17-minute rain delay, amongst many other things, to win the World Series, right? We had to have so many things go our way. And in baseball, that's how it goes. And I think that's why you don't see teams repeat like the Yankees did in, 2000, 2001, because it's just so hard to get back there and to win. You have to have so many things go your way. So we had a great team. We had great runs. We did everything we could, and it just didn't work out the other years. But I don't think any of us really will ever lay our head down on the pillow at night. No, we didn't do everything we could to win more.
Talking with Anthony Rizzo, who announced his retirement today. He's going to be celebrated Saturday in a one-day retirement as a Chicago Cub, going to be a team ambassador. Anthony, before we let you go, anything else that you recall fondly about your career that you want to put into perspective and as excited as you are looking ahead?
Yeah, I think the charity work, for sure. Just everything I was able to do off the field with my team and the coaches around me, but my direct team of my inner circle was just so amazing, and I'll always be grateful for that. And my time in Chicago was amazing. I got traded, and it was such a blindside, but going to New York was such a blessing for me and my family as well to be in another historic franchise. So today, you know, I just threw a video on my Instagram, watch it again, the tears are flowing, overwhelmed with joy right now. So I couldn't be happier to be coming back to Chicago. And this weekend's going to be really special. I'm going to have a lot of friends and family there, and I enjoy it. I'm going to sit out in the bleachers, enjoy a game. I went to my first game yesterday at Yankee Stadium, had a hot dog and a beer, and that's just a little warm-up to what will be on Saturday.
They ought to let you, like, jump on top of the tarp and watch a game from there.
Oh, I would love it. It's a different vantage point when you walk into the stadium as a fan, and doing it for the first time at Wrigley is going to be special.
Thank you so much, Anthony, for joining
us. Thanks, Anthony. Great stuff.
Take care, buddy.
Congratulations. Care. That is Anthony Rizzo. Wow. How about that?
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
This one goes out to one of the greatest Cubs ever. Bring us a World Series championship. No better guy on the field, no better guy off the field. Anthony Rizzo and his family. If he is retiring, this one's going out. Let's hear Rizzo, Rizzo.
Man, that's how you do it. And yeah, I guess Chris Chelios did know a thing or two at the time, didn't he, when he broke that news to the crowd at Wrigley singing the seventh inning stretch. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670. The Score. Mark's over at Hallis Hall. We'll hear from him at about 1:25. But there was a major announcement that happened today when it came to Anthony Rizzo. I think we all knew that at some point it was going to be time officially for him. We saw him appear on Apple TV Plus with Russ Dorsey this past season, but there was never an official retirement announcement until today. Retiring as a Cub, and here's the big part. If you want to get your schedule ready, you got to act fast. He's going to be honored this Saturday at Wrigley Field. He'll also become an ambassador for the Cub organization, and of course, now he has officially, I guess, returned to the org and will be honored as such. Now, we know Anthony Rizzo played games as a Yankee, famously traded there in that sell-off in 2021, but not a bad way if you get to play for the Yankees and the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo wearing pinstripes, of course, we know him here best in the blue and the red.
Anthony Rizzo, honored Saturday. How much are those tickets about to go for as far as if you don't already have them, getting them on the secondhand market, he's going to throw out the first pitch. But what a career for Anthony Rizzo, not just from a Cubs-centric standpoint in that what he meant to this team, but just a baseball career in a vacuum, an 828 OPS over 14 years, that's good stuff right there. 303 Amen. Career home runs, that's great stuff right there. And a guy who, of course, was an All-Star three times in a row and a Gold Glover four different times.
Also, of course, his work for cancer patients as well. He a cancer survivor himself. And really just what he meant to fans. It's hard to explain, I think, unless you were part of it, how Anthony Rizzo wasn't just the glue, he was the productive glue, as Pat Hughes, you heard there, mentioned, fan favorite, of course, but it's also because of how he produced. You know, Wrigley's not an easy place for lefty hitters to produce. He had 109 career homers at the ballpark and four straight seasons of at least 30 there. And they always seem to come at the best possible times, especially during that championship run. Here we were talking earlier, Marshall, about Ben Johnson's self-awareness. I remember when Anthony Rizzo returned to San Diego because he was part of that trade with the Padres. That's how he ended up with Chicago. And he said, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when I was playing for the Padres. Well, he obviously could once he was a Cub. And I just remember thinking, there's not a lot of guys who would be that casual about it. There's not a lot of people who would be that honest about it and talk to us the way he would talk to his friends.
the numbers back him up. He hit 141 as a Padre. And I think because of the success he had after he left San Diego, he can, of course, say what he said the way he said it. But I think the connection that this man had, and I think a lot of it is due to what he did outside the field of play with the fan base, I think that's what sticks out to me the most. I mean, outside of obviously the World Series win, that's like the big piece of this, right?
And he was considered a big piece of that. You know, he is a poster child for Theo Epstein's theory of change of scenery benefits athletes. You know, he of course with John Lester, that acquisition, and John Lackey, so huge for this team to become the juggernaut that it was in 2016. He was on earlier today with Mully and Haw and discussed his decision to make it actually official.
Why now, and what do you envision doing in your role as a team ambassador, Anthony?
You know, it's just coming towards the end of the year. You know, it was just had our baby, Anthony Jr., so been just engulfed in joy in that in the last 3 months. And it's coming down to September. Talked to Mr. Ricketts and Crane, and the Cubs are rolling right now. The team's young, and you know they're scrapping right now. I wouldn't say they're rolling, but it's an exciting time, and you know, to be part of the October run and just obviously playing there, I'm going to be a Cub forever. So the ambassador role is going to be amazing to do moving forward, and I'm excited for it.
And congratulations to Anthony on having his first baby, Anthony Jr.
They say that kids will change you. I don't know. I don't have kids, but my parents have told me how much I change them, and not just me, but obviously my siblings as well. But like, your perspective changes, right? And if you're in the twilight of your Major League Baseball career, right, and you're looking at what can I do going forward, I'll be curious to see how much more broadcasting he does. You said he was on with Russell Dorsey, of course, on MLB Network. Maybe that's a path that he might want to go down a little further.
630, credit to you. This is Rahimi and Harris talking about Anthony Rizzo and his retirement. This is hilarious. This is a callback. Will Kevin, his wiener dog, be in attendance as well? Because there's a question a couple times Bruce would ask Anthony Rizzo just how he was doing, you know, after he was with the Yankees or whatever. And he'd mention Kevin, his dog, but you don't necessarily know it's a dog because his name is Kevin.
Kevin? Yeah, that's not the typical dog name, right?
That's a good callback out of you. That cracks me up. He also discussed what it meant to him specifically to retire as a Cub.
It means everything. And it really starts from when I first got there. The players there, Dempster taking me under his wing, Soriano, Castro, Reed Johnson, Jeff Baker, Kerry Wood. I could go on and on. And then getting to know Ernie Hanks, getting to know Billy Williams, seeing all the guys, the past Cubs that would come in, meant so much to me. And I said it all along, but winning the World Series was so much more than just those guys, those 25 guys on the field. It was so many guys who made that happen before us. And now to be able to come back and be one of the Cubs, I guess, greats, to be able to wear the jersey, Ryan Sandberg, who is such a legend in Chicago in his passing, to now, you know, hopefully create another legacy off the field in Chicago will be amazing.
I love the connection to that. Obviously, one of the greatest to ever put on the uniform, period. A guy who had his second season with the Cubs as their team ambassador, to be connected to that and Ryan Sandberg and his legacy in his mind, you lose one, and now you get Anthony Rizzo to have that role going forward. And I have to imagine he'll be a Cubs Hall of Famer as well.
I assume that as well. You know, we just had that over the weekend, and that was a really fun moment. I think each and every day over the weekend, I was at the game on Friday, and every time they showed Sammy Sosa on the video board, everybody screamed. And he deserves that. And absolutely so does Anthony Rizzo, that's for sure. And Kevin Rizzo.
And Anthony Jr.
Yeah, so shout out to the Rizzo family, including Kevin and now Anthony Jr. Congratulations.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Sean Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to our dear friend John Heyman, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well.
We're getting through it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not easy. The Kyle Tucker thing is just annoying at this point. You just want everybody back and healthy, and they're collecting that. You know, Anthony Rizzo signed a one-day contract. He's retiring as a Cub. He's 2 years younger than two guys they had in the lineup yesterday. That's humanly possible. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's appropriate. He's a beloved Cub. Obviously, he hit 303 home runs in his career. The vast majority of those with Chicago, and was the heart of the championship, historic championship team. So I thought that was great. And, you know, he had some, I think he had some inquiries, but he thought he should get an appropriate salary for him, and they didn't get it. So retiring as a Cub makes sense.
John, you know how provincial we can be. We love the good stories here. And just wondering, outside of Chicago, how you would consider Cade Horton as a viable Rookie of the Year candidate, and how impressed you have been by a guy whose numbers have been as good as any starting pitcher since July?
I mean, he has been really, really good lately, certainly in the mix. I mean, the National League doesn't have anybody like Kurtz from Oakland, just killing it with 1,000 OPS. So I think he's got a realistic chance. I guess Isaac Collins of Milwaukee. There's a few other guys that are kind of in that mix, but Horton might be the favorite at this point.
Hmm. You know, I'm just curious, John, the White Sox have started to win some series as we're hitting the end of the season, and they got all these young guys kind of contributing, and they're preaching this idea that that September is the beginning of next season and that they want to play well. They won a game against Tampa. They won a series in Detroit. And I was saying to David, you know, they went into Detroit and they won two or three games. The only game they lost was the Scoville game, Streak Scoville. And now you look at Detroit beating the Yankees up. You know, does that mean the Sox are greater than the Yankees, if I'm using math terms?
They might be. I don't know. It's certainly greater than the Mets, the way they're playing. But, look, the White Sox have made major strides from their historically bad season last year. They're not bad. They're certainly making strides from the first half. Montgomery, obviously, is a great story. Looks like a future star. And they've got some positional possibilities between Mydroth and Teal, Caro, Sosa. So I think people should feel much better about the White Sox. They certainly have hit a lot better in the second half. And I think their pitching generally is looking fairly good. Certainly when Schultz and Hagen Smith get there, that's going to be a big plus as well. But their pitching generally has been pretty okay this year. And you know, they're not the worst. They're not even close to the worst right now. The way they're playing, they're actually playing really close to the middle of the pack at this point, and that's a major, major improvement considering where they were last year.
As we sit here 3 weeks before the playoffs, John, I look at the Dodgers and I see them starting to pitch better. I see Mookie Betts getting hot, and I start to fear them even more. So if you're a Cub fan, if you're watching the Cubs, is it right to look ahead and not want any part of the Dodgers more than you don't want any part of the Brewers? Is that the team still to beat until proven otherwise?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, their starting pitching has been great lately, and it's healthy, which is the big thing for them. I think they've had 15 guys on the IL pitchers at one time. Now it's down to much less than that, and their major starters are all available and pitching well. Snell and Yamamoto and Glasnow and Kershaw. They are clearly the favorite, even though they haven't been the best team this year, mostly due to those injuries. Betts is performing much better. They aren't the perfect team that we envisioned at the start of the year, but I would say they are probably the team to avoid, even though Milwaukee's really been the one really good and consistent team throughout this season, just based on the playoff history, the experience, the names, and now the health of the Dodgers. And the Brewers right now have four relief pitchers who are out, including the closer, McGill. So, yeah, I'd much rather play the Brewers, even though they've been better this year.
You know, I saw a story, I think it was on ESPN, but they were talking about the best teams and whether they're real or not for the playoffs, and they concluded that the Cubs were a really good World Series bet because of the depth of their lineup. Now, their lineup isn't what it once was, but pretty much top to bottom, there are guys that are above their positional replacement in terms of their WAR, etc. If that suddenly stops, can it pick up again come playoff time? In other words, do you think the Cubs can make some noise, even if they have been quieted a bit of late?
They certainly can. I mean, I think their numbers are coming back to what the expectations were. I know we talked in the first half when they had the best or second best offense, and we felt, at least I felt, that the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and the Yankees had bigger offenses overall. So I think they've come back to what was expected and what their career numbers suggest. But it is a talented lineup overall. I think it's a solid lineup. I think it should play decently in the playoffs. And, I think their rotation shapes up pretty nicely with the aforementioned Horton, certainly, and Imanaga and Boyd. I think they're in pretty good shape there. I think the concern now is with Palencia out, is the bullpen going to be good enough? But look, I don't think there are any super teams. We thought the Dodgers were going to be a super team. They're the favorite. But I do believe anybody can win, and the National League certainly hasn't been so much better than the American League. In fact, the American League has a better record than the National League, and the Mets may get in, or whether it's San Francisco or Cincinnati gets in, and they may get in with 84 wins or something like that at this point, or even fewer than that. So, the National League probably isn't the gauntlet that we thought it would be. The Dodgers, while very, very talented and certainly playing better at the moment, aren't the unbeatable team that we thought. And certainly the Cubs are a very, very solid all-around team. Obviously, the injuries are a bit of a concern, but I think they've been very, very good throughout the season. I do believe they have a legitimate chance.
I just think that we're going to spend the next couple weeks here wondering if a team can win in October, John, with a closer by committee. I don't know if Daniel Palencia can come back from his injury, and I don't know when he does come back what shape he will be in, because before the injury, he was starting to look a little shakier at times, and the Cubs don't really have a bona fide answer without Palencia. And I just wonder, in recent examples, recent years, can you think of teams that have won without an established closer?
Well, I'm going back a ways, but I think the team that broke the streak, the bad streak for the Red Sox, their closer wasn't, your typical superstar closer. I'm not sure it was a closer by committee, but they didn't have that superstar closer. That's definitely the concern for me. Palencia, is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be okay? Is his shoulder all right? Kittredge seems to be pitching better. That's a plus. He was absolutely dynamic last year. He's been okay this year, but not the dynamo that he'd been in the past. But, you know, you can win without a Mariano Rivera as your closer. Keith Foulke was the guy I was thinking
of. Keith Foulke, yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Foulke.
Yeah. He's not a star. They won the World Series and broke their streak 2004. But certainly is a help to have that bona fide closer. But let's face it, Palencia was kind of a revelation this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know that he was a superstar closer until he performed very well for them for the first two-thirds of the season. So, you know, it's definitely a concern. To me, that's their number one concern.
That is very interesting. You know, Milwaukee has a couple of injuries that have kind of crept in, but they're still doing pretty well. They still kind of are as high ranked as anybody, but still better than the Dodgers, still ahead of the Phillies. Some of the teams we really thought were going to start making noise, they just don't seem built for the playoffs. And that's just based on the history of their organization.
Yeah, I get it. And the Phillies, I'm here in Philadelphia now, they have been extremely impressive. Of course, they're playing the Mets, who are in quite a tailspin, so maybe that's part of it. But, boy, the Phillies, Ranger Suarez pitching better than basically anybody in baseball, and Christopher Sanchez probably be second in Cy Young to Skeen. So even without Wheeler, they've got a great rotation, and the pickups of Duran and Bader have been huge. I mean, a lot of the deadline pickups have been disappointments all over baseball, but I would say that the teams that were willing to give up those top prospects are the teams that benefited the most. Would be the Padres, certainly giving up the number 3 overall prospect, DeVries, and Philly giving up number 54 overall prospect, Eduardo Tait, the catcher, 19-year-old catcher, to get Duran, who was the best closer out there, at least in my mind. He's got 12 saves for the Phillies, so Philly is certainly a threat as well. So, I mean, the National League playoffs, I think, are still stronger than the American League playoffs, but it's not. There's no perfect team out there. I don't think so. I think Milwaukee's been the best team, as I said, and I think for a lot of people, not for you people in Chicago, that it'd be a fun story if Milwaukee could do anything in the playoffs. But their playoff history is weaker than the Cubs' playoff history, even. So we'll see.
I'm really intrigued by the Red Sox. They are 3 games out in the East, and they, since trading Devers, I would like to see them finish the job. I also, look at Aroldis Chapman. How is he still doing it at 37? Lucas Giolito has a low, like 2-point-something ERA since June 10th. From a Chicago perspective, the Red Sox are fun to watch.
They're good. That was my pick at the beginning of the year. They're not quite there. Toronto has surprised me by doing a nice job turning it around and playing a nice small ball, court sort of Milwaukee style, doing a good job. But the Red Sox are a dynamic team full of youth, big arms. Crochet, of course, you guys know about. I mean, who knew he had this kind of innings in him? I guess the Red Sox, they gave up good prospects. They spent $170 million on a guy with an injury history but a big arm. Bayo has been terrific. Giolito has been very, very good. They are, to me, maybe, in my mind anyway, they're not going to be the favorite of the American League, but in my mind, they are. I think they really have pitching, they have the youth, and they can do it in the American League. I do think the best couple teams are in the National League.
Great stuff, John, as always. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
great
John.
Catching up.
All right, great talking to you guys. Good luck.
All right, buddy, that is John Heyman. He knows we'll need it.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Well, you got some big news, right?
I do. Finally, officially announcing the retirement, coming back to Chicago, retiring a Cub. It's all exciting stuff.
Well, yeah, he was a great player. I mean, I think he was certainly at the center of the great Cub teams. and deserves this recognition, and I'm happy that it could happen for him. I mean, he was a great defender, had great instincts, just on base, good hitter, power, you know, so he kind of delivered it all. That's why he was on great teams. He was at the center.
That was Craig Counsell, who was on our show earlier. That was Anthony Rizzo, who was on with Mully and Haw, announcing that he is going to retire as a Chicago Cub. And there's going to be a celebration on Saturday. Three-time All-Star, obviously a World Series winner. 4 gold gloves, a platinum glove, too. A silver, so he's got it all. He's got silver, gold, and platinum. Silver Slugger Award, won the Clemente Award. Anthony Rizzo.
Man, so many things run through your head. You know, I remember him as the early harbinger of what was going to come because Theo and Jed went out and got him right away for Andrew Cashner. And, like, they just wanted him so bad as kind of the hub of what they did. And I guess the first thing I think of is just the way that he attacked at first base, the fearlessness.
With the way he'd come up, if you were showing sacrifice,
yeah, man,
he didn't care. He would be right next to you at home plate.
Way before the team was good, way before you believed in the plan or anything, you were just like, man, that dude is, whew, he doesn't care. And he had a beautiful swing and the B-hack like you asked Counsell about earlier. But also just like there was something really fun and raw about him. Thinking about him with David Ross in the dugout at the World Series.
Not being able to contain his emotions.
Yes, yes. And Ross trying to get him under control. And remember him attacking the Cincinnati Reds dugout and wanting to fight them, not caring if any teammates were behind him at all. And eventually they did come behind him, but it was like him versus 4 or 5 Reds at first because he was like, that is just some BS, and he just went after them alone. There's a lot of like signature moments that jump out at you,
including catching Game 7 World Series ball, throwing it in your pocket, and then celebrating. How did Pat say it? Like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's,
yeah,
that's all part of the Anthony Rizzo story.
Yeah, it is. But like, and there's so many. It was the 14-pitch at-bat he had against Daniel Ponce de Leon of the Cardinals that ended in a home run. And Wrigley was just up for grabs, and he was so pumped and so proud of the at-bat because that dude could shorten up and fight it off with the B-hack. He could swing for the fences on the first couple of strikes, and then with 2 strikes, try to stay alive and hit for average, happily go the other way. A ton of respect for what he was at the plate for the bulk of his career.
And let's not forget what he was at the mound. Rizzo versus Freddie Freeman.
He got him.
Frederick.
He got him.
And then them in that rundown where he's, Frederick, yeah. Frederick, yeah. Frederick.
Oh, amazing.
And he tags him. So he had
I forgot him screaming Frederick in the rundown. That's right. Man, I always wanted to get that dude on the stage at a Hot Stove Cool Music at the Metro, those music events we
Rizzo?
Did. Yeah. We hung out backstage a couple of times, but he was a piano player. Like, he was a keyboard player. And we, like, there was a keyboard in the Cubs music room, and Anthony would play every once in a while. So, like, I kept, like, being on Theo to, like, come on, man, ask Rizzo. And it never happened, though. So, that's out there as one of those big fish that didn't happen. But, I mean, it's amazing how quickly the career devolved into this, you know?
Dude, I mean, he had a bad back for forever.
I know. You're right. But he played in the World Series last year.
I know.
How many games did he start in that World Series? I remember the one really terrible play where he didn't cover first. You remember that?
Because the Yankees as a team.
Oh, Yankees were abominable fundamentally, and he was part of it there at the end. And I remember thinking, ooh, that's too bad. He's not even running to first and not getting there. That was a rough moment. And I'm sure it was the back, but there was also, he wanted to play this year. He was waiting for a phone call and it just didn't come. First base only or DH, who has a bum back and can't really hit for the power like he used to. That market dried up fast.
The 637 OPS player last year.
Oof.
And that was down from 706.
That's what Carlos Santana was, and now he's on the team.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, but when you have all that stuff, and you probably he's made enough money where he doesn't have to really worry about anything, and that back, and it's nice to be able for him to come back to a place that he is beloved. I had a friend reach out to me today. She named her dog after him. Like, her dog's name is Rizzo.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have to be there on Saturday. Like, I have, like, and I think that he brings about that emotion.
He does. He does. I got to tell you, like, our mutual friend Marty Leonards from WXRT.
Shout out to Marty.
Marty's dad passed, I want to say 2014, maybe 2013. And I remember talking to Marty, just such a great Cub fan, Marty, and his dad was too. And I remember him saying, yeah, my dad would have loved Rizzo. He would have loved him. And that left a mark on me all these years later, just because, like, that's the kind of player that a lot of people's dads would have loved, you know? Just a hard worker, really good defensively, and, you know, passionate as hell. So respect for the career. And we know the Ricketts family loved Anthony, and that's part of why this is happening, that he's coming back and getting this on Saturday. He'll meet the media on Saturday, and then he'll get to retire as a Cub that day.
A couple more of the numbers. 40.4 BWAR, 303 total home runs.
Ooh, 303 is good.
261 batting average, 361 on base.
Man.
467 slugging for a career, an OPS of 828.
Dude!
An OPS plus of 123.
Wow. I mean,
that's really good.
Career OPS of 828?
That's really good.
That's something. And 300 homers and a 361 OBP?
Yeah, that's a nice career.
That is a really nice career. That's a really nice career. The best Cub of everybody in that core, though, hit his 50th home run last night. In terms of the overall career,
he who shall not be named, because it hurts too much that they let him go.
For nothing.
For nothing.
For absolutely nothing.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.